Welcome to Dave Ramsey's Entree Leadership Podcast. This is a place to learn what Dave Ramsey and his team teach about leadership and business. On today's show, you will be hearing Dave teach about mission statements and the importance of having both a business and a personal mission statement. We will also have a special interview in the studio with Dan Miller, author of The 48 Days to the Work You Love. Who am I? My name is Chris Licurdo, and I am your host for the Entree Leadership Podcast. I have the privilege of being able to teach these lessons here in Nashville and around the country, the Entree Leadership Principles to business owners and leaders. We want to thank you again for joining us for another podcast. Now, what can you expect from the show? Very simple. We want to give you information that is going to change your leadership, change your life. But we don't want you to just sit on that side and listen. We want you to interact as well. We want to hear your comments. We want to hear your questions. You can do that a couple of ways. First thing you can do is you can follow us on Twitter, at Entree Leadership. That's at E-N-T-R-E Leadership. Or follow me, at Chris Licurdo, C-H-R-I-S-L-O-C-U-R-T-O. You can also email us your comments and questions at podcast@entreeleadership.com. And we will be answering a lot of those questions as well as on the show as on my blog at chrislicurdo.com. Now, last show, we talked about unity and ways to strengthen your team. We also had an incredible interview with Coach Tony Dungy, author of some killer books, Quiet Strength, Mentor Leader. Just an amazing, amazing interview. We had tons of comments about that, and we love to hear that. We're glad that you guys enjoyed that. This week, again, we're talking about mission statements. Dave will share what mission statements should include and the differences between a company mission statement and a project mission statement. Now, I know there's a bunch of you out there right now going, mission statements. Really? Isn't that so 80s? No, it is not. It is a very vital and very important part of your direction going forward, of defining and showing what you want to be doing, what you should be doing, and how you should be doing that. This is something that we believe wholeheartedly in that everybody should have. So, let me just back away and give you Dave Ramsey teaching on mission statements.
Where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. You can't just squabble. You've got to pull the dreams down and move them into a vision. Now, that kind of makes sense, and you could kind of do that in your head as we're talking about it. You can start to unfold some of that. It's a little bit theoretical. Now, though, you got to do something. Now you got to take that vision and actually write it out in the form of a mission statement. Mission statements are powerful because a mission statement, it's like an out-of-bounds marker. It tells you, most importantly, what you aren't. Because the problem with business is that as soon as you start becoming successful, you have the money to go do stupid stuff. Oh, you too, huh? I mean, you got to say, this is who we are, and so by definition, we aren't that. Because you're not omnipotent. You can't be all things to all people. You cannot, in business, do that. If you lose your focus to that degree, you'll be a wandering generality. And your customers don't even know what you are. Your brand messaging will get screwed up. You can't produce widgets on time because you're doing too many different things at the same time and none of them well. Jack of all trades, master of none. So you need to have that out of bounds marker and say, this is who we are. And so by definition, that is who we aren't. It doesn't mean that that is a bad thing. I don't run hotels or operate them. I don't own or operate radio stations. But I utilize both. I can observe when one is being run well or not. And I get frustrated when they're not and I interact with them. That's how life works, right? And that's interacting with a vendor, so to speak, or a customer, either one. But that doesn't mean out of my frustration, I necessarily need to take our resources, take our eye off the ball, and go over here and start buying radio stations. We're not going to do it. I have no desire to own a radio station or a hotel. None. It's outside of my mission statement. We're clearly defined who we are, and so by definition, who we aren't. A great mission statement keeps you on track. Career coach Dan Miller says that a mission statement should include three things: your company's skills and abilities. Now, Collins talks about this as core competencies, or the hedgehog principle, or however you want to look at it, you know, find your flywheel, he talks about, in Good to Great. He's always going back to find your core competencies, what your values are, what your skills are, what your abilities are, and just keep turning that flywheel. And so, you know, figure out what it is you do well. One of the things we do well in our organization is we put on events well. We are an event-driven company. We do that well, top to bottom. It somehow is in our nature. It may have all the way back to me hauling an overhead projector around the trunk of my car and setting it up with books on the other side of the trunk of the car. And, you know, I'd have my jeans on and my suit in the back seat. I'd set up everything, be soaking wet and sweaty, and then go take a shower and then be the speaker. It probably goes all the way back to that as to what a great event looks like and feels like. So what are your skills and abilities of your company? That needs to be encompassed in your mission statement. What's the company's personality traits? If you're doing a personal mission statement, what are your personality traits? What's the personality of your company? By the way, it'll likely reflect somewhat your personality. If you're the leader of the organization, the owner of the organization. And that's okay. We talked about that last night. That's the anointing drops from the beard. You or your company's personality traits. It needs to encompass your values, your dreams, your passions. One of our values is we teach people to get out of debt. And so it would be inconsistent with our value system to have a product that we financed for you. Well, this is kind of expensive. It's like $6,000, and so we're going to put it on easy payments. That would be perpendicular to our value system. It's outside of our mission statement. It doesn't fit.
So hopefully that gives you an idea why mission statements are so important, why you need both a company mission statement and a personal mission statement. Again, it's not something that's tying you down. It's something that's helping you. It's something that's giving you direction going forward. Now, Chris Mefford in the studio, our producer, when I brought you on, you had been running your own business. Had you done mission statements before? Because I know I had, you know, with every team member, we have every team member do a mission statement. Had you been doing them?
No, not at all. As a matter of fact, when I sat down to do the whole process, and you worked with me on the importance of it, and we have to do these now as part of joining the team, as part of your KRA, you have to do your personal mission statement. It wasn't hard, but it was a great thing. Actually, I had never done them before, but it worked out to be this great process that said, okay, this is who I am, and this is where I want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I had never done that before. You walk around all day kind of thinking, what are you going to do this weekend? Where are you going to go out for dinner tonight? But you don't necessarily sit down and think, gee, where do I want to be in the next 5 or 10 years? What defines who I am?
Mm. What was your thoughts of mission statements before coming on board?
I was very skeptical. You know, I was just one of these. I thought they were like these big corporate things, and you used words like paradigm shift and synergy and these things. And, you know, when you get in and you write your own, it's different. You kind of say, okay, what is it I want to do?
Yeah, absolutely. That's it. I mean, that's the point, folks. That's the goal. That's what we're trying to teach you. It's not something big and scary. It's not something that you have to worry about. It's something that simply helps you define a direction that you're going in, plain and simple. And we have somebody sitting right next to me, Dan Miller, who's in the studio with us. We're going to talk a little bit more about this. Dan, for more than 30 years, Dan Miller's passion for personal and organizational transformation has motivated individuals and organizations to create lasting change. Dan is the author of the widely acclaimed 48 Days to the Work You Love and No More Mondays. He writes regularly for many popular magazines and web portals, including CBN.com, Crosswalk.com, InTouch, AARP, and Success Magazines, and the Zig Ziglar Newsletter. I can tell you that we have loved working with Dan Miller for a very, very long time, so I am honored to welcome Dan to the studio. Dan, how are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic.
Well, it is great to have you in here. Obviously, we've worked together for a long time, a lot of years. You've been somebody that we have promoted like crazy with the Dave Ramsey Show. We do it in our Entree Leadership events because your stuff is great. I mean, you just work. I don't know how many conversations I have out there on the road, and I'll be talking to somebody. Say, well, you know what? You need to check with Dan. Go check out Dan's stuff because he's got the answer for that.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, there's been such a warm synergy between Dave's work and mine over the years. And, of course, we've been friends for over 20 years now.
Yeah.
And the way our work has developed together, where it complements each other, has made a really interesting and fun working relationship.
Absolutely. Now, you talk a lot about personality styles. You talk a lot about careers and, you know, where people are going, things that they can do to get on the right track doing what they love. But today we're talking about mission statements. And as we try and teach business owners, business leaders around the country the importance of this, a lot of times we kind of get that deer in the headlights look. They're like, why? Wasn't that just something from the 80s? Isn't that overused? Why is a mission statement so important?
And it is. I want to agree with you 100% there. It really is. Because it identifies a reason for existing, mm-hmm. You know, whether as an organization or as an individual. Without it, you're likely to be what Zig Ziglar calls a wandering generality. Mm. You know, so it's a focus. That's all it is. You have a target. It's a way to turn a light bulb into a laser. Without that, you just aren't sure where you're headed. So any organization, and again, not just an organization, but an individual, ought to have a mission statement. It's amazing the freeing power that it gives. It's not something that's confining, that limits a person or an organization right. at all. It identifies what are we going to do that's important so we don't waste our time doing things that are not important.
It helps you to kind of actually say, you know, you're sitting there, you're like, this is what I want to do with my life. Well, great. Here's something to define that. Would you agree with that? It's kind of, here's a way of looking at what the next few years, what your life, what your business looks like.
Absolutely. It just put legs on what it is that you want to do, so it's not a general assumption.
Definitely. Now, we often, Dave and I both quote you in Entree Leadership. We talk about, as we're talking about mission statements, we say, because you always say, a good personal mission statement should be consistent with and include three things. Skills and ability, which is the what. Personality traits, which is the how, values, dreams, and passions, which is the why. Can you explain what you mean by this?
Absolutely. A lot of people think that you develop a mission statement just in a vacuum. So you end up with a mission statement that's just very generic and would fit anybody. Mm-hmm. Now, Christians are notorious for this, Chris. You know, I want to love God and serve Him forever. Well, that sounds all warm and fuzzy, but I have no idea what that person is going to do tomorrow morning when they get up.
It's very vague.
And I'm pretty confident they don't either.
Right.
Thus, you can have a really positive or even godly sounding mission statement that's essentially meaningless in shaping your daily activities. However, integrating your skills and abilities, your personality traits, your values, dreams, and passions makes it personal and specific. Mm. It's not unlike an objective on a resume. Mm. I see objectives on resume where it says, I want to work with a company where I can use my strongest skills to help the organization achieve their goals. Well, that would fit anybody who breathes,
right.
anybody on the face of the earth. There's no distinction of any kind. A mission statement does that. It is specific. It says, this is what is unique about this organization. This is how we're going to do it. That's what we want in a mission statement.
And I love, like, something to be so aware of is, like, the personality traits. If it doesn't fit your personality, we always say, you know, if you struggle with drinking, don't sell Budweiser. You know,
that's
don't
right.
sell something. If it doesn't fit in with you, then don't do it. And getting that personal, that mission statement also helps you to line out what fits you. What, you know, what is it that you love to do and what is it that you are actually really good at? In your book, No More Mondays, you are fond of saying, what's your plan? What do you say to those out there who don't know they need a plan or even where to begin?
Well, it's never too late to start. No matter where you are, now's a good time to start. But without a plan, you're going to live someone else's life.
Mm.
Brian Tracy says, if you don't set goals for yourself, you're doomed to work to achieve the goals of someone else.
Wow.
And that's what, having a plan helps you identify what's important. Why are you here? Who am I? Why am I here? That's really what a mission statement does. I read recently a report about the five biggest regrets of people when they're dying. When people are dying and ask about what would they do differently? Common themes emerge. The number one regret is, I wish I had had the courage to live a life true to myself, not the life others expected of me.
Oh my gosh.
That's what a mission statement does. It allows you to live your own authentic life. It's not superseding God. It's not, you know, pulling something out of a book. It's identifying who am I and why am I here. Again, I can't imagine getting up in the morning without that kind of clarity.
Mm. And we often say, that a mission statement says what you're not, which is what you're saying right there. So many people, I mean, with that number one regret, that's outstanding. Outstanding not in a good way.
That's right.
It's shocking.
It's shocking.
That most people are like, I've lived a life that somebody else wanted. But like you always say, I mean, this is a way of saying this is what you're not. So that gives you that freedom to say, I'm not going to live that life.
That's right.
And go ahead.
The funny thing is, a lot of people assume that in setting goals or mission statement, that somehow it's taking the spontaneity out of life.
Oh,
then
right.
It's going to turn you into a robot. It actually does exactly the opposite. It frees you to be the best at what it is you do. Mm. So instead of being that wandering generality, just kind of doing whatever pops up, wherever the squeaky wheel is, nobody does high accomplishment in that manner at all. It's by crystallizing what is it that is unique about me and reflected in my mission statement that allows me to maximize my contributions no matter what I'm doing. As a dad, as a neighbor, in my church, or in my business.
So, I love what you just said there. People get this thought in their head. It's kind of like budgeting. You know, we're teaching people how to do this financially.
Very much so.
People get this, they get confused in thinking, if I put this down on paper, that's it. That's me. I'm done.
Yes.
And that is so not true. Instead, it's almost an aid of saying, what you believe you want to be inside, this is just a way of putting it on paper saying, okay, now go do it. Would you agree?
That's right.
Absolutely.
Yes.
You talk a lot about the importance of having a mission statement. What would you say to someone who thinks having a mission statement is fine, but wonders if they can actually work or can help them accomplish anything?
Well, I'll give you a little background on this. As you know, Dave and I have a weekly brainstorming group. Mm-hmm. A group of guys have been meeting on Wednesday mornings for a long time. Now, you might think, well, you know, a bunch of guys get together, you talk about the ball game, shoot the breeze, whatever. It's not that. I don't know of any high achiever who was not or is not part of some kind of a mastermind group like this. I mean, all through history, we see that. I mean, Benjamin Franklin had a group called the Hunter Group for over 40 years. Mm. The results of that group are still evident in our society. I mean, out of that one little brainstorming group came our first library, first volunteer fire department, the first public hospital, police departments, the first paved streets, and the first university in Pennsylvania. I mean, those are all things. That's the power of having that kind of a group. That same philosophy, that same concept takes place when you have a mission statement. I don't know of anybody who is a high achiever who gets up in the morning and just kind of see what happens.
It just doesn't work.
Just show up and see what's important. No. Yeah. People who accomplish things decide in advance how they will invest their time. Just like you guys teach people with budgeting. If you have $168, decide in advance how you're going to spend that. Don't just get out there in the shopping mall and see where it disappears. That's a horrible plan. We all have 168 hours a week. I want to decide in advance how I'm going to invest those precious hours. And a mission statement allows me to do that. Mm. And that's why companies have mission statements. It allows them to decide in advance what they're going to accomplish and how. And it integrates those components. What is the need out there that we need to address? What is the business that we're going to do to address that need? What are our values? And so those things are pervasive. If those are really melted into a mission statement, it's going to accelerate the accomplishments of that organization dramatically.
I know Chris Mefford, our producer in there, we've had a brainstorming meeting for a long time, and I think we've discovered best places to eat in Nashville. So that's all that's come out of it. Would you agree?
Yeah. Okay. Well, you write a book.
We can write a book about that. There you go. That's solid. What are the best types of mission statements? Is shorter better? Is longer better? Should we write mission statements in general terms, or should we be very specific?
There's no right or wrong length. It has to be something that resonates with the individual or the organization. Mm. So I don't have a cookie cutter plan for exactly what that ought to look like. You know, you risk ending up pulling something off the Dilbert mission statement generator if you want to have it just a certain length. And there are books out there, wonderful books like Lori Beth Jones' book, The Path, where she says it really ought to just be one succinct phrase. But I think what you can end up with, you can end up with a mantra, which is something like Caterpillar has, service first. But that's a mantra. That's right. Not really a mission statement. Right. A mission statement ought to be specific to the organization and the individual, but it ought to really tell enough about that organization that somebody can look at it and say, okay, I get it. That's what they're all about.
Mm.
I went back and, of course, read this company, your company's
our mission statement.
Mission statement, absolutely. It's one sentence, but it covers those things, the purpose, the business, the values, very clearly.
Absolutely, absolutely. Should the mission statement describe our businesses or personal goals for today, or should it describe them as we like to think they will be in the future?
Boy, great question. It should do both.
Mm-hmm.
It should be practical and instructive for today so that every activity in this organization we can weigh against the mission statement. Does it embrace or conflict with the mission statement? Every activity. So it ought to have that clarity today, but it also ought to lead us to the future that we want. It ought to act as a filter at any given time so we can ask ourselves, does this contribute? Does this add to, and again, embrace the mission statement? It gives clarity to everything that happens in an organization or for an individual. Again, you know, sometimes I almost apologize when we talk about this like this because it sounds like we're going to, I mean, how do you identify the value of an interaction between a dad and a son? Or between two neighbors over the back fence. I don't want to make it seem like we're having to quantify so that it has some kind of revenue model, everything that we do. But there ought to be a purpose. If I'm going to volunteer for a committee, it's going to be because my skills will serve that committee well.
Right.
If my church asks me to serve in a particular capacity, and I know that that's not something I do well, I need to say, no, I'll find somebody else, but that will not be something that I'll do. I ought to be that clear on where my highest value is. And I think everybody wins with that. This is not to take any kind of originality or individuality or spontaneity out of our lives, but it's to help us crystallize so that we have value to what we do, to our interactions and our contributions.
I'm going to throw you a curveball here and say, because we obviously believe highly in core values. How much does core values play a part in a mission statement?
It ought to be a real solid foundational piece. They have to be reflected there.
And what I'm saying that for those that are listening, specific things, you have to have core values, one, in your business. You have to have core values for yourself personally. And we had a great segment on this a few weeks ago. But when you're taking your personal mission statement or your company mission statement, you should put those together and say, listen, what I believe in as a company, if core value is that we're going to serve the customer as best as possible, we're going to go crazy making sure that they get everything, you know, that they need, then that should fit into your mission statement, right?
Absolutely. I mean, if you deal with Amazon or Zappos or mm-hmm. Tom's Shoes,
great.
You know how you're going to be treated.
Right.
It's a core value, and it doesn't matter who you talk to, that core value is going to be very clearly evident.
Uh-huh. Should we expect some change from year to year in our mission statement? And, you know, if so, you brought up our mission statement. We've had the same mission statement for 17, 18 years now. But should some people expect some change? And if so, should they adjust it as they go?
I think it ought to be visible at all times. But I think you ought to leave room for subtle adjustments. I don't think it's going to be dramatic, but I think you ought to leave room for changing little things because, you know, cultures kind of mature and you may go back and just in personal maturity, you go back and say, you know, I want to really tweak that a little bit. So I think that coming back to it every 6 months or so is a healthy kind of thing to do. It may be almost like a logo. I mean, you look at a logo of a company, yeah, it represents the same thing, but you may want to come back and update that a little bit.
Right.
I think you can do that with a mission statement. I don't want a mission statement that has to be carved in concrete in the cornerstone of the building. I mean, my own personal mission statement, some years ago when one of my sons was still in high school, he had a project through school to study a biblical character. Well, he chose Solomon. After lots of research, we chose Solomon. I'm working on that with him together. What we all know as church kids, Solomon was the wisest man who ever lived. But if you really look in the scripture, he didn't ask for wisdom. He asked for an understanding heart. Mm. And that was a real profound moment for me. Just in helping my son on a school project to understand if that's the basis of wisdom, I want that reflected in everything I do.
Right.
I went back and inserted that into my personal mission statement. That's really profound for me. That may not mean much to anybody else who reads it, but for me, it's a very profound insertion to have in my mission statement that I have an understanding heart. So I think you do that even as a company matures. You may go back and just tweak it a little bit.
And you just said something very important. When it comes to a personal mission statement, that's mine. That's not, you know, that's not for somebody else. I mean, it's definitely, I'll share it with people, but it's a company mission statement everybody needs to understand, adhere to. You know, let's point in this direction. This is where we're going as a company, but me as a person, I'm not doing this for somebody else.
That's right.
Like you said, you just went back to your personal mission statement, and other people may not understand it. They don't need to. My personal mission statement, that's for me. This is what I'm saying I'm doing. And if I decide to share it with people, that's great, fantastic. But I'm doing it for me. I have always thought that mission statements were a great thing to have, not because they gave direction to my life or business, but because they kept me from doing things that were distracting or didn't line up with the mission. Do you have examples of where a mission statement actually helped you avoid a problem or problems?
Wow, that's a great question. I think that's really important information to add here, because a lot of the value of a mission statement is exactly that. It helps you from doing things that are not important or effective. Now, we hear that indecision is the greatest thief of opportunity.
Oh, that's awesome.
Now, without a mission statement, anything becomes a reasonable possibility. So if I'm presented with three great ideas today and I don't have a mission statement, I may end up debating the merits of all three, and all of a sudden a month has passed and I'm still trying to make a decision, because they're all very good, very viable possibilities. But with a clear mission statement, I should be able to make 80% of any decision I'm confronted with instantly. My mission statement's already defined and filtered what doesn't fit. Mm-hmm. Now, in terms of, have I ever had my mission statement stop me from something? Absolutely. About a year ago, I was presented with an opportunity that would have given me a massive national exposure. But it would have required that I spend about half my time traveling. That conflicts with my personal mission statement. Although the finances on it would choke a horse, it was an instant decision for me. There was no decision to be made. I had already decided in advance what my priorities were, clarified in my mission statement, so I said no to that opportunity.
Wow. I can see so many people that would have jumped on that because they would have looked at the money, they would have looked at the exposure, said, this is a great thing, I must do this. 6 months, a year later, thought, what in the world am I doing?
I only shared that with a couple people because it would have been a reflection on the organization and fine organization. And they had a hard time understanding how I could possibly pass on that.
Yeah.
But it was a no-brainer. I didn't even go for the counsel of other people on that, because my mission statement identified it doesn't fit.
Right. Absolutely. Last thing, Dan. There are probably a ton of people who are skeptical listening to this right now, only because they've never experienced the other side of this, the other side of having a personal mission statement, the other side of using that as a tool to make life easier, better, give you out-of-bounds markers, all of that kind of stuff. There was a time in your life you did not have one. There was a time when you probably or may have been skeptical or whatever, but now you've been on the other side of this for a very long time. How can you tell that person who's sitting there who's skeptical right now, who doesn't have goals, it's almost Christmas, who doesn't have goals, who doesn't have a personal mission statement, what do you tell that person turning into 2012?
I want them to experience the freedom, the absolute exhilaration that comes on the other side. Now, if with your listening audience, it ought to be easy to relate to having a financial plan. There are a lot of people who made decent money but never had a financial plan and ultimately felt kind of out of control, and they can't believe the freedom that comes from having a plan. Not the restriction, but the freedom. Right. I want people to believe that about goals and a mission statement. It produces ultimate freedom, not restriction or constraint in any way. It releases you. But I really cringe this time of year in talking to people who have no sense of goals for the coming year. I can't imagine starting a brand new year without having already decided in advance what kind of a year I want to have. Mm-hmm. And that's not just in finances or career, but in other areas as well, personal development, family, spiritual, physical. I decide in advance. I mean, I really believe the old adage is that most people end up pretty much where they expect to end up. So what that means is if you have negative expectations, and of course we hear, you know, the economy's in the tank, you know, everything's going down the toilet, the wrong people are in office, blah, blah, blah. I mean, if you buy into that, guess what kind of a year you're going to have?
A pretty cruddy year.
That's a pretty cruddy year, yeah. So if you want something other than a pretty cruddy year, decide in advance what you want it to be. That's all we're talking about here. Developing a mission statement allows you to decide in advance, what kind of a life do I want to live? And what are going to be the parameters, the boundaries that help me make it a productive, fulfilling life, where I identify who am I, why am I here, and I'm going to maximize my contribution. That's what a mission statement and goals do.
Right. Worst case, you spend some time, you spend a couple hours on this thing, you put something together. If you don't like it, hey, at least you got to spend some time looking at, you know, planning for the future.
You know, here's another thing, and I got to squeeze this in real quick, but I set goals so that I have about a 50-50 shot at hitting them. And a lot of people think, well, they don't want to set goals or identify a mission statement because what if they don't do it perfectly, right, then they failed. No, this year I had as a goal, and I told everybody very publicly, I was going to release one new product a month. All right? Month 10 comes along, I've got 10 products released. In month 10, I got a contract for my next two major books. I shifted my focus immediately because the next full manuscript is due in less than 60 days. I'm on a real crunch. So I'm going to end up the year with 10 products, not 12. Did I fail? Yeah, only so much so that it put me ahead of 99% of other authors out there who are creating content.
Yeah.
So I don't see that as a failure. So I want people to be able to frame it in that way. It gives you a target to shoot for, but if you don't hit it 100%, it's not failure. It's still moved you along. We have to realize success is not a destination. It's a direction.
Right. It's a journey. Had you not set those goals, how many products would you have put out?
None.
Hey, Chris, Dean, I agree with that 100%. I was telling people just the other day, it's interesting that I had set a goal to run a triathlon this year. And as I got into it, I realized I hated swimming. But I ended up running. I know it's hilarious. But I ended up running like 3 5Ks in the first 3 months of the year. And had I never set the goal to run a triathlon, I never would have probably gotten off the couch.
That's Bingo. True. That is true. Absolutely.
Bingo. Absolutely.
Well, Dan, this is good stuff. This is good stuff. For those of you that are listening out there, take the time. Take a couple hours. Get away. You know, set yourself down with no distractions. Sit down and write out exactly what you want your life to look like in a personal mission statement, what you want your business to look like in a personal mission statement, the what, the how, and the why. Where can people find more information on you? What are you doing now? What's going on? Obviously, you got the next two book deals. You got one that should be coming up soon.
Yes.
So what can you tell people about you?
The book I'm working on right now, I'm really excited about it, perhaps more than any book I've ever written. I'm doing it in conjunction with my son, who lives in Mombasa, Kenya. Mm. And the title is Wisdom Meets Passion. It's the different generational approaches to work. There's a whole lot of things involved, but I'm really excited about that project. So I'm always writing, creating new content. Blog, people can find us at 48days.com. That's our traditional site. There's lots and lots of resources there. And then I'm also really excited about 48days.net. That's an online community, all people who are creating the work that they love in many different ways. They're artists, musicians, landscapers, you name it, they're on there. But they link arms, share resources, give advice to each other, and more quickly, because of the synergy, are able to find levels of success that they would have had a hard time doing on their own. But I've got a newsletter, blog, podcast, a lot of resources. I love helping people, encouraging them to go to new levels of success.
Fantastic. Well, Dan Miller, ladies and gentlemen, thank you, sir, for coming into the studio today.
My pleasure, Chris. The time goes quickly, but I love talking about these things with you.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. Well, there you have it. Things that you need to include in your life, in your business. Final thoughts. Thing that I loved about that, my takeaway from that, is that no high achievers ever wake up and say, hey, let's see what happens. I wonder what's going to happen. Let's just see what's going to happen today. High achievers wake up saying, this is what I'm going to do. This is the direction I'm going in. These are the things that I've got to work on. High achievers do that. Folks that are not wake up and go, I wonder what's in store for today. Mefford, what was your takeaway from that?
My takeaway was indecision is the greatest thief of opportunity.
Absolutely. So, folks, don't be indecisive. Don't be sitting there wondering what it is that you're going to do tomorrow, what it is you're going to do next week, next month, next year. Sit down, put a plan together. Put it on paper on purpose so you know what direction you're going. Next show, oh, man, I'm so excited about this. We got Jim Collins. And, dude, you're going to so have to get like an IV of coffee coming into this place because that's going to be intense.
Our coffee is going to go from good to great.
Good to great. Woo, that's awesome, folks. That's our humor here on the Entree Leadership Podcast right there. There you have it. So we are excited that you've joined us for another episode. That puts another one in the books. We're looking forward to next week. And, again, we want you involved. We want to hear from you. We want your comments. We want your questions. Follow us on Twitter at Entree Leadership or at Chris Licurdo. Email us your questions at podcast@entreeleadership.com. Go on over to my blog at chrislicurdo.com to see some of the questions answered over there as well. Also, head over to the business section of DaveRamsey.com and sign up for our monthly newsletter. It's free. It's full of information. It is not a sales page. This is something that we are giving to you. It's another way for us to touch you with more information. And if you want more teaching from Dave right away, plan to attend one of our Entree Leadership events. You can check out EntreeLeadership.com for more information. Well, again, this has been a blast. We are so glad that you guys are enjoying this. We are so glad of all the comments that we're getting. Please keep those going. Please let us know how we're doing. Please let us know what you think. And as always, I want to give some great thank yous out to the people who make this thing happen every single time. Chris Mefford, our producer. Colin Fatke, our audio engineer. Becky Powell, our queen of customer service. She's going to love me for that one. Obviously, Dan Miller. Thank you, Dan Miller. And, as always, Dave Ramsey. Folks, go out there, make it an incredible week. Make it an incredible day. Take this information, make an impact on your leadership, make an impact on your life. Thank you for joining us for another episode of the Entree Leadership Podcast. Folks, right now couldn't be a better time in history to operate or start a small business. If you're ready to take your leadership to the next level or start your own company, then join me, Dave Ramsey, for the one-day event based on my New York Times number one bestseller, Entree Leadership. At Entree Leadership One Day, I'll teach you everything you ever wanted to know about building and growing a business. You'll learn about goal setting, communication, and yes, even accounting. This material is changing the way people view business and leadership. You won't find this stuff in some college business class. This is 20 years in the trenches of leading and actually running a business. This is how our company works. It's leadership training for everyone. When you do what you love with your life, your vocation can become your vacation. Learn how at Entree Leadership One Day in Atlanta on January 20th. Get your seats now at DaveRamsey.com or call 888-22-PEACE. That's 888-227-3223.
Hey, this is Daniel Tardy with Dave Ramsey's Entree Leadership Master Series event. This event offers personal leadership coaching from our executive team, in addition to Dave teaching you his entire business playbook. We're thrilled to announce that our next event will be at the gorgeous Westin La Paloma Resort in Tucson, Arizona, May 6th through the 12th. Our last event sold out early. These events always sell out early because they're limited to 200 people. So if you want to lock in a seat, you better call our team today at 888-227-3223. Just ask for me, Daniel Tardy.
My wife used to call me a Sunday jerk. Why? Because every Sunday as we got closer and closer to Monday, I became a jerk. I could feel the pressure of Monday morning building on Sunday nights. I didn't want to spend another 40 hours in another cubicle for another week of work I didn't love. Maybe you have a job like that. Or maybe you like your job, but you know deep down there's something bigger and more important you'd really like to be doing. Or maybe you've lost your job and this is the chance for you to figure out what you're going to do next. Join me, John Acuff, on February 10th and 11th for the Quitter Conference in Nashville, Tennessee. Based on my Wall Street Journal best-selling book, Quitter, this exciting two-day event will help you figure out what your dream really is. Beat the three biggest fears that keep you from pursuing your dream. Use social media to build the one thing every dream needs to succeed. And much, much more. The best part? Tickets are only $99, but space is limited. To sign up for the Quitter Conference on February 10th and 11th, visit johnacuff.com/events. That's johnacuff.com/events.
Running a business is not for wimps. If you lead people on a daily basis, you know how tough it is. You want your team to enjoy coming to work every day with the same level of passion you have. How can you do that? We've got three ways. John Acuff, Chris Hogan, and Chris Licurdo. These speakers travel the country inspiring business audiences, both large and small. They're not only endorsed by Dave Ramsey, they're on his team. They live and breathe entree leadership. They get it. And they know how to get it across to your people in their own unique styles. They'll share practical, proven, easy to understand principles that will impact how your team sees their work, and more importantly, how they see themselves. This is real life stuff straight from the trenches. Dave's company has won Best Place to Work in Nashville 5 times in a row for a reason. You can win too, but you have to be intentional about it. Call our speakers group to schedule John Acuff, Chris Hogan, or Chris Licurdo today. Call 888-284-2488. That's 888-284-2488 or online at daveramsey.com/speakers.